Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And Angie is here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. My son needed a major yard cleanup at his new home. We went straight to the Angie website and found a bunch of local, reliable, and affordable pros to handle the job, and one did pronto. Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your area. Get started at Angie.com. That's ANGI.com, or download the app today. The app and website are free to use. Hello, ladies. Hello, gentlemen. This is the Victor Davis Hanson Show. I'm Jack Fowler, the host. But you're here to listen to the namesake of this show, Victor Davis Hanson, who is the Martin and Ely Anderson Senior Fellow with the Hoover Institution and the Wayne and Marsha Buskey Distinguished Fellow in History at Hillsdale College. Victor's official home on the internet is victorhanson.com. You should be visiting that. You should be subscribing to that. And we're going to talk about that later. And actually, we're going to talk about one of the articles Victor has written that's exclusive for his website. There's plenty, always is, Victor, plenty to talk about on the podcast. And I think the first thing we should address today is Dr. Jill Biden. And we will get to her and her Mrs. Woodrow Wilson-ish ways right after these important messages.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show, justthenews.com. That's John Solomon's website, but that's our podcast's official home on the internet. Check that out. So, Victor, I saw some grumbling today from the media that is beginning to grumble about a little about Joe Biden for whatever reason. It's time. They all got the memo. It's time we can kick him in the can because we don't want him around 2 years from now, I guess. But there's complaining about Jill Biden, who is kind of putting herself in the way of the president from answering questions or hearing questions from the press. She seems to be his body, well, not body man, but body wife, all the time, sort of a shield of sort. I can't help but think, this is the beginnings of a sense I mentioned earlier. I mean, Mrs. Woodrow Wilson, who many people thought was essentially the de facto president back in 1919, when her husband had a stroke. Victor, we've talked a long time ago about Dr. Jill Biden, but she seems to be the beginnings of annoying the people that were the lapdogs of this administration.
Do you have any thoughts about her that you'd like to share?
Well, it's very ironic because you remember when Nancy Reagan, when Ronald Reagan had hearing problems and, or if you believe the left, cognitive problems, or if you believe Ron Reagan Jr., who turns out to be the severest critic of his own father, that he had the initial signs of dementia. Remember when Nancy Reagan would go, "Did you hear the question, Ronnie?" Remember that? And she would whisper, and the left went nuts.
Yeah.
They talked about the 25th Amendment. They were just crazy. And then, of course, when Donald Trump said, "You better be careful, Kim Jong-un. My rocket button's bigger than yours, and it works." Then they said, "Oh my God, the guy is completely unhinged, and we got to get Bandy Yee up here from Yale. She's got to telediagnose Donald Trump." She said he needed an intervention. Schumer and everybody, they had her testify. She edited a book about Donald Trump is non compos mentis. That led, remember the whole hysteria that Ronny Jackson, the White House doctor, gave him the Montreal cognitive assessment, which he aced. I took that, by the way, and I mean, just for the heck of it, there's versions on the internet. It's kind of like you see a dromedary. Right. And you see a hippo and an elephant, you have to identify. That's the easy part. But it's not, I don't think I would have. It's like 8 numbers you recite, then you have to recite them by memory backwards. Things like that. And right. He aced it. And then we had the Rod Rosenstein, remember that? And Andrew McCabe, we're going to put a wire on him to catch him in his dementia so they could invoke the 25th Amendment. We had Rosa Brooks, the former Obama Pentagon lawyer who wrote 11 days into the administration of Donald Trump, 3 ways to get rid of this SOB. My words, not hers, but hers were even tougher. We can get impeachment, but alas, that takes too long. We could do the 25th Amendment. Man, it takes a little shorter, but it's too long. But a military coup, now that's what it would be better. Nobody said a word. So my point is that they only get angry when it's in their interests. If this was Ronald Reagan and Nancy, they would say, "This is terrible. Nancy Reagan is assuming." Remember that she had this reputation of the watchdog, and did she fire Don Reagan? Remember that, the chief of staff? And they said right. She was a dictator and she protected Ronnie from his naps and all this. So they really went after. So, but that's nothing to what Ronald Reagan looked like, Socrates compared to Joe Biden at this stage. And so we're back to eat at the Wilson, and you're right. I think it was from October 2019, after he got back from Versailles, and he barnstormed the country until he left in January, or I guess it was March then, 2021. He was incapacitated, and she was the president of the United States. She claimed later that the doctors, you know, allowed her to do that, but she was running the country. So this demands, I guess it begs, demands, prompts the question, who's running the country? Because if you saw Joe Biden last night, did you see when his talk, he was giving a teleprompted speech and he went off and he said, "Where's Doug? Is this Doug? Is he Doug here?" We never knew who he's talking about. He just wanders and he slurs his word. He's incomprehensible. Right. Nobody can understand what he says. So who's running the country? Well, Jill is apparently the conduit. So she sits down with Ron Klain, I guess his successor now, and they make a little, you know, barrier around Joe Biden. I think the Biden sister and the Biden brother maybe are somewhere in the picture. And I don't think, let's pray God that the smartest man Joe ever met, Hunter Biden, is not. But they make a troika. And then there's feeders into that roundabout. Joe's in the middle, the Biden family, Jill, the chief of staff, and then you've got the hard left squad members feeding in. You've got Elizabeth Warren feeding in. You've got Bernie Sanders feeding in. And you've got looming around everywhere, I guess, with the threat that she might have to enter the race if you don't listen to her, is Michelle and Barack. And out of that consortia, you have this hard left agenda, which he has no idea what it is. He doesn't go to the border. He doesn't know anything about the border. He doesn't know. They just write the script for him to Ukraine. you name it. She's the housekeeper or the traffic director. And that's sort of like the old Ways and Means Committee, Wilbur Mill. You can do anything because you adjudicate what bills come up. She adjudicates what Joe Biden sees. And it's kind of weird because she's the second wife in the way that Edith Wilson was. And she's a little bit younger than Biden. She's more vigorous, kind of like Edith Wilson was after Wilson's first wife passed away. So you got that same image of a younger second wife with the older man who got her where she is trying to take over. And Jill Biden, something's wrong with her only because there was always a rule among academics. And I confess I was I am an academic. I'm not proud of it, but I am.
You're forgiven. You're forgiven.
But the point I'm making is there was always a rule among snooty, arrogant academics that you don't call yourself doctor, right? Because you don't operate on anybody. It's either professor or something. And if somebody calls you doctor, you don't correct them and be pedantic. So I'm not a doctor. I'm Phil. I'm Jack. You don't want to be falsely casual. You just don't use it. But you specifically exempt yourself when you see a person with an EDD, a doctorate of education, which doesn't require, in most cases, a full-fledged PhD thesis. It doesn't require the knowledge of two other languages. And it's much easier to get. And yet those are the people who use that phrase because there's so many more granting institutions. Cal State Fresno gives doctorates in education. And then as soon as you'd meet one of those guys, it was doctor this and doctor that. Well, that's what she does. That's always a tip off. It was Dr. Jill. She corrected people. You remember that when they called her? She's like Vindman. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, Representative Nunez. And it's the same idea. Right. So there's something insecure about it. I don't know what's going on, but the country is in a very dangerous spot right now because it has a cognitively impaired president, and the country is being run by hard leftists in his incapacity. And he's just a spokesman or a mouthpiece to the degree he can even do it anymore. And they have taken over the country, and you can really see it on the matters of 5 million illegal entries, or the Afghanistan humiliation, or the blank check given to Ukraine, or the $1.7 trillion deficit and unwillingness to discuss it, or the deliberately drawing down the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as you cancel new federal leases, and you cancel Keystone, etc. This is a hard left agenda, and she's the orchestrator of it.
Well, Victor, speaking of political spouses, footage has come out of the attack on Paul Pelosi, the husband, 82, I think he is 82-year-old, husband of former Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Remember the attack before Election Day? It was used for political purposes, maybe effectively even, maybe it played a role in minimizing the red wave because the attack was cast as a political event. And many people we knew there was body footage from the cops. Anyway, it's released. And you've seen the video, Victor. It's a strange scene personally, but what are your thoughts about this and any other thoughts about Pelosi? I know we talked a little bit about those also. Not, I feel bad. Paul Pelosi obviously was attacked. That's a bad thing. And there was also an exorcism of the house. The news came out earlier this week that Nancy Pelosi, I think, had some priest there to do an exorcism. Anyway, your thoughts, Victor, about what you've seen here in this video and anything else about the Pelosi saga?
I don't know. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, because on the one hand, they have the earlier tape of him breaking in, right? And yet, when you look at this tape, you see these sort of younger man, older man. They're about the same height. They both have protruding guts. And they don't seem anguished. He almost has a smirk on his face. And I like to say they were struggling over a hammer, but Paul Pelosi's only got one hand on the hammer, and it looks like his left hand is holding a drink of some sort, right? I don't know if it's alcoholic or not. This guy's in his cutoffs. Paul Pelosi, I guess, is in his underwear. And the police, I think, are bewildered. And then when they ask for him to drop the hammer, then he goes, nope, and starts, you know, he starts attacking Pelosi. So if you were giving the most charitable official you would say that he came down, he saw a guy break in. The guy was obviously deranged. Being Paul Pelosi, a mild-mannered person, he tried to reason with him. He gave him a drink. He sat down, tried to talk him out of it. And then when he saw the guy was not going to be talked out of it, he went into the bathroom, called the police, came back out. The person may have thought that the police had been notified, was starting to get angry, had the hammer. I don't know where the hammer came from, but it was the one that he used to break in. People that are listening know it much better than I do. And then when he saw the police, he felt betrayed or something, and he attacked Paul Pelosi. That's the charitable view. But the problem with it is, I don't know why people haven't told us how the guy got there. Where's his car? Did he take a taxi, Uber? And why was he there for a considerable period of time before he called the authorities? And when they came in, why didn't Paul Pelosi just drop his disengage and run over to the police is what I don't understand. And why, if you're, well, put it this way, if somebody comes in my house, first of all, I'm going to confront them right away. I'm not going to talk to them. I'll try to call the police. I'll try to get some weapon. Second of all, I'm not going to have a drink, Jack. I'm not going to say, you know what? You don't belong in my house, Mr. Intruder. But why we talk about this, I'm going to pour myself a drink, maybe a Coke, maybe alcohol. How about? And then we'll just discuss it. Oh, by the way, and then when we're doing this, I'm going to sneak into the bathroom and call the Selma police, the Fresno County Sheriff. And then when they show up, this guy goes, oh, you called the police. And he has, he produces a hammer, or maybe Paul Pelosi had it. And then I'm going to tell the cops, I'm not going to run over to the cops. I'm going to hold a drink in one hand and wrestle one-handed against a man much younger and apparently much heavier, who has two hands on the hammer. I have one because I don't want to drop my drink, and yet it doesn't make any sense. There is an explanation that I gave you at the beginning, but there's so many holes in it. And then when you add these other things, that it's just bizarre. Nancy Pelosi apparently did she have a man of the cloth come in and exercise or get the spirits or the bad taint out of her house? Or was that just fake news? I don't know. That was reported at one point. And then, of course, she said the other day that one of the reasons that they lost the house because they didn't talk about crime enough. She talked about crime as in no crime. And is it because her husband was attacked now that she is a tough on crime? I don't understand the whole thing. It's just, and when you have to superimpose this on that 2021 wreck, remember with the Porsche, and it was the same thing. It wasn't, they were not transparent. He was
a long delay in
long drawn. Yes. Right. Was it 2 or 3 hours to let his blood levels go down to an acceptable, but they didn't quite get acceptable. There were rumors somebody else was in the car. Those were not substantiated. I don't know. Those were California rumors. I don't know if you heard them or not. I talked to some people from California and they trafficked in them once, but I don't know if they're true or not. But he did pull out and endanger somebody, could have killed him. And then he pulls out a wallet with some kind of donation card that's supposed to impress the cops that he should be let off, which suggests he's done that in the past and it's worked. And then I don't understand it. I don't. So it's bizarre. And I think that's this whole mess is one reason she, besides her age, that she didn't run for office or she didn't run for speaker again. A final note, and I just thought of it. The policemen were exasperated, Jack. Remember, he said, what is going on? The policeman said that, the first thing. Like, I was supposedly coming here for a break-in, and you two guys are standing there, and one of you has a drink in your hand, and the other has, what is going on? Because there was no sense of fright or, you know what I mean? And so they were, and then didn't the guy, the PAP, say everything is good? Like, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's sad because he was hurt, and that's terrible.
I think it makes sense, Victor, if you inject implications like that. If there was booze involved, well, that might explain a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
It might, who thinks clearly. But what are you going to do? Accuse the guy of being in bed and maybe.
When the people suggest that it was some liaison or tryst, I can't, I'm open for suggestions, but I don't understand if that's true. They have him on tape breaking in, you know what I mean, with a hammer. Right. Didn't he break it? He forcibly entered. I know there was a bunch of controversy early on in the case where people said, well, if he hit the glass, all the glass should have, gone inward.
Inside versus outside. Right.
Yeah. And then there were forensic experts said, no, when you shatter glass, it can go both ways, all that. But it still didn't make much sense that he would break in. And rather than to be let in, they were having some type of discussion, relationship, liaison. So I don't think it's. And then I don't know why they didn't release it. That's the other thing about we're getting into the asymmetry. I swear to God, if you're in San Francisco today and you call up and say, I think somebody's broke into my house, you're not going to get a policeman in 2 minutes. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
I called years ago and said, there's somebody in my porch, and it was 2 hours. And I will say the other, about a month ago, there was somebody right next to our mailbox who was yelling and screaming and apparently had just had a fight with a woman. I don't know, but we called the sheriff and they were excellent. They were here in a minute and a half. So I don't want to suggest that that's not happening, but it does seem. It sees, I don't know.
Can we imply that the weirdness of this whole situation, now that we have some video, and not just, hearsay, et cetera, I think it shows the maliciousness of the use of this incident and attack for political purposes. More the genius of Democrats to use any occasion as an opportunity for leverage, political leverage. But this is an act of this just total suspicion that went along with this violence and exposes the non-political nature of it, despite it being used politically by Nancy and Joe and others right before the election.
Yeah, I mean, everything, as we talked about that before, think about it. The Sam Bankman story, crushed before the election, smothered, the classified documents known to both the U.S. government and Biden before the election, smothered. And then on the other hand, let's not wait until after the election to draw down the petroleum reserve to beg Saudi Arabia, Iran, Venezuela to pump more oil, to offer amnesties for federal marijuana convictions or student loan defaults or late payments. So they're masters of manipulating the elections.
I mentioned earlier that and I've mentioned this on every podcast, that your happy home on the internet is victorhanson.com and that you write pieces exclusively for the website. And I think we should talk about one of them, and we'll do that right after this important message.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first 3 orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Let's talk about the piece you've written. Actually, as I just went on the website, an even new Ultra piece is up, and that's on, it's titled Our California Rainforest. But I wanted you to talk about the one you had previously written, and it's called Do They Think We Are Stupid? And this, again, to our listeners, this is an Ultra article. You can read it if you want. But if you want, you have to pay. You have to subscribe. And the subscription for VictorHanson.com is $5 to get your foot in the door. And then it's $50 a year. And there's just an endless stream of pieces and essays that Victor writes that you can only read here. And this is one of them. And we'll, you know, we'll pull the curtain back and let talk about some of the stuff that's exclusive. Yeah. So, Victor, what prompted, what do they, who are the they that might think that we are stupid? And why did you write this piece?
Well, there's certain things that come out of the White House and the administration that they don't believe, and therefore, that why should we believe it? So, and after this was written, of course, I mentioned the Merrick Garland, right? And he said, when he gave this long speech, remember that how he's about the documents, that he's absolutely nonpartisan, and he doesn't, right. he went into detail. I treat Democrats as Republicans, rich versus poor, and I thought, yeah, that's right. You think I'm stupid. That's why you sent armed guards into Mar-a-Lago, FBI and SUVs. That's why they went through the family's personal drawers. That's why you spread news, fake news documents on the floor and doctored it. That's why you leaked that it was nuclear codes. You do all that because you're so fair. So then when there's news that Joe Biden had done the same thing, you allow his lawyers, no FBI involved. You brag, or it leaks that Joe complied. The first thing he knew. And you want us to believe that. And I don't believe it. And I don't think our listeners do either. So I assume that they think we're stupid. I literally think they think we're stupid when they said, and this was that talking point, you know, all those talking heads get those DNC points, and then whistleblowers, the walls are closing in. But one of them was Joe Biden self-reported. Remember that? We're not stupid. He didn't self-report. He suppressed it before the midterms. He had the documents maybe for 15 years since he left the Senate. He didn't tell anybody. Since he left the vice presidency in 2017 in January, he had those documents. He knew he had those documents. They were in the garage. He didn't tell anybody. The only reason he self-reported was that either somebody leaked it and they called him about it, so he self-reported it, quote unquote, or there was so much emphasis on Donald Trump and such pushback, he got paranoid, or his staff did, that they wanted to make sure that he hadn't done the same thing. So that's the only, and I guess they, you know, and the same thing about the January 6th, they think we're stupid when they report that five officers were killed. No, five officers were not killed. Five officers committed suicide in the months way after the shooting. And that's not necessarily attributed to the events that we think were stupid. We know that what you did with Brian Sicknick, you lied about it. We know you lied about Ashley Babbitt. We know you protected the officer Byrd from the immediate treatment that most police officers who fatally shoot a suspect must undergo. But we're not stupid, so don't try to, you know. And then when he went down to the border, finally, do you think we're stupid? This is a man who said he was not going to build 1 foot of wall. And this is when Mr. Obrador was so delighted. He said he loved it, by the way, Jack, to take Biden by the hand. Remember, to help him up, because he was muscular and our president was frail. But he said, just imagine, just think about it. There's 40 million Mexicans of our people in the United States. And he's the first president that has not built 1 foot of wall. He's great. Does he think we're stupid that that's not an insult to us, that you care more about Obrador's concerns than ours? But the worst thing is, he bragged that he would not do any wall building, and there was that tragic pictures for the first year. Was remember those wall components that were rusting out there? They were all purchased. They were laying right. in succession to be erected, and they were just rotting, rusting, deteriorating because Joe Biden would not build 1 foot of wall. And then what does he do when he goes to the border? He walks along a calm stretch of the border with this huge wall in the background. Right. I thought he'd be ashamed to have it, but no, he sees that it worked. Why didn't he go to El Paso and not have his guys clean up the city, but leave it as it is with teeming with illegal aliens and then put his arm around them and say, hello, how are you? You're my people. He didn't do that. And then he went and had a little talk with his friends, the Border Patrol, that he had just accused of what? Whipping people. And then when they were exonerated, he never apologized, even though they didn't. So I guess he thinks we're stupid. That was the point of that essay.
Victor, I encourage our listeners to check it out. And again, the piece you've written on water, which we've talked about many, many times, but it's a never-ending issue, not only for California, but the whole West, which is seeing in the midst of a long drought and lakes with their water levels decreasing, coming close now to affecting the ability of some places to produce hydroelectric power. So, but anyway, that piece on California water is well worth reading. So, Victor, a few other topics to discuss. One of them that's been out there a lot, and I haven't heard your thoughts on it. Maybe you were on Fox and talked about it. I might have missed it, but it's what's happened in Florida with Governor Ron DeSantis and his Department of Education, who flipped the bird at the advanced placement course, the national AP, we call it the AP test, for African American studies, and that's been rejected in Florida. And let me just read a couple of the reasons why. It's a very ideological. I've listened to some people who say, you know, look, there's good stuff in here, but there's a lot of ideology in it. Here's some of the topics that would be taught in these courses are year long. And if you pass the AP and you take the test and you get a 4 or a 5 on it, it counts for college credit. Now, these things are not, you know, it's not a joke. Here are the topics. Among the topics that would have been taught in this course, intersectionality and activism, Black queer studies, movements for Black Lives Matters, Black feminist literary thought, the reparations movement, and well, that's amongst many. So, Victor, we've got this very ideological laden course proposed by the national AP folks, and Ron DeSantis has said not here. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think I mentioned just in passing to Sammy that I was kind of a big supporter of FIRE and the American Freedom Alliance, which I sign their petitions about right. absolute free speech. But both of them attacked DeSantis as if he should allow this to be taught under the guise. But they wouldn't have said anything had somebody from the other extreme said, you know what, we're going to teach that the nuclear family, a two-parent household, a Christian foundation is the fundamental building block of America, always was, always will be. Is that freedom of speech? Because they wouldn't allow that to be in there if right. they said that. And the left, it's screaming, wouldn't allow that to be in there. So let's be honest about it. They had an ideological agenda, and it did not represent the actuality of what's happening. It was commissar-like. And DeSantis understands one great truth about the whole woke wars, that it's kind of like the Battle of the Bulge. If you did what we did and push the bulge from the nose, you're going to lose 100,000 casualties. If you had to listen to George Patton and cut it off at the base, you would have saved thousands of lives. You can push back against the foundation, sports, the media, social media, the corporate boardroom, but where is all that coming from? What's the font? The font is the school system. That's where people are trained to do this. And so what DeSantis is doing, so I'm going to go to the heart of the matter. these people are training generations to come in this pernicious, toxic, lethal woke ideology right. that divides people by race. And it would be something like Bull Connor coming in and saying, you know what? We've got to have something about racial purity. And that's freedom of speech. And it's the schools. Of course, they did that. And the left was right to object to it at one point. So I get a little upset with these free speech advocates that go after DeSantis because he was doing the right thing. And it all dovetailed, you know, this new College of Florida, which is sort of their overpriced public flagship university, kind of like what UC Santa Cruz was in the late 60s or 70s. It was going to be do your own thing, path breaking and all that. And then he stocked it with people like Rufo and Kessler and others, and they went berserk.
Right.
But again, he understood that that's what they do, and he was just going to do what they do. And this brings up a larger topic, and that's the adolescence of the left. They really are so arrogant, sanctimonious, and self-righteous. They never believe that anybody would dare tit for tat, karma, nemesis, what goes around comes around. They don't believe that happens. So when Kevin McCarthy does to the Democrats what Nancy Pelosi did and kicks people off of assignments and nullifies the minority leader selection, they just don't, they go ballistic. They go ballistic. And so what DeSantis does to what they're doing and say, no, we're not only didn't, he didn't just replace this with a propaganda. He says, we're not going to enter into it. They go ballistic. And, you know, it's the same thing about the filibuster. When they're in the minority in the Senate, they go ballistic if you talk about getting rid of the filibuster. When they're in the majority, they say, you know, it's an impediment. It's, or to quote Barack Obama, it's Jim Crow legacy, racist legacy. They're like little kids, adolescents, and they never get over it. And they just scream and yell, Warren Court is so wonderful. Oh, we lost the Warren Court. The Supreme Court needs to be packed. It's just so typical, and you can see it here, and it's, what DeSantis is trying to do, I think, is that he's trying to slowly build an alternative candidacy to Trump. I don't know if it's going to work or not. I'm not going to get into, they need to fight it out in the primary, and everybody has to suspend judgment and may the best person win among all the candidates. But I think what he's trying to say is, I'm a MAGA adherent, meaning I believe in tough borders, traditional education, traditional morality, deterrent, but not deterrent foreign policy, but not nation building, tough on crime, develop energy. But I'm going to do it in a way that's innovative and really sends a message to the left that I'm not going to be just heat. I'm going to be heat and light.
Right.
I'm going to do it in a focused manner. So I'm going to send people in an iconic moment to Martha's Vineyard that are here illegally, see how you like right. it. Or I'm going to go and tell Mr. Disney, I know what you're doing and you can do it all you want, but we're not going to subsidize it by giving you these obscene tax breaks. So there's a cost for it. And the same thing with here. I'm going to put some conservatives on the board to match the ideological stuffing of these trustees that you did. And so he's trying to said, you know, don't get, I think his, Paul, if you could sum up his campaign, and that's what it is, even though he hasn't announced, it's don't get mad, get even. Don't get mad, get even.
Yeah.
And that's...
And the appealing thing about him, Victor, for everything you said to me boils down a little bit to, like, he seems to have... He has political instinct. Not every politician has political instincts. I mean, Trump certainly does. Or they've gotten... I think they've become a little dull lately, but he certainly showed him. Newt Gingrich was a great example of someone with great political instinct.
He understands something that if you want to be tough and make change, then you don't want to amplify that with tough talk. You want to speak quietly and carry a club. You don't want to speak loud with a twig. So what he does is when he talks about closing the border immigration, he doesn't just, we're going to keep those people out. He says, we have commitments to U.S. citizens. What's happening on the border to our people, the predominantly Mexican-American people, that is not fair to them. Illegal immigration is not fair to people who are waiting in line from Poland and Argentina and Kenya and are trying to come here legally while people cut in front of the line. It's not fair for Mexico to expect us to offer generous entitlements to illegal aliens to free up their cash so they can send $60 billion back to subsidize the Mexican government's social responsibilities to its own people. So that's what he's doing, and it's working. And the counterpart, as we've said before, what does Trump have to do? It's not make fun of people. It's not insult people. It's not tweet. He needs to have a systematic, logical agenda. So yesterday or today, he actually had a video. And he had Trumpisms in, you know, wacky, maniac left and all that. But it was essentially a blueprint about education and critical race theory. It was about 5 minutes long, and it was policy oriented. And somebody has told him that Ron DeSantis and changing the Constitution to alter an election, and Mitch McConnell's wife, Glenn Youngkin's Chinese-sounding name, that's not going to work. But giving a sober and judicious, you don't have, somebody's got to Trump and said, listen, Mr. Trump, you don't have to be wild and accusatory. We all get that you have fire in the belly, but what we want is light, not just heat. And you've got to get a program and you have to articulate. And that's what he's doing now. And so it's going to be basically a question of how well does DeSantis do two things. And that is show everybody that he's a base type of guy that is going to take it to the left. He's not just a Romney or John Kasich or Paul Ryan. And he's done that. And the second thing is, how effectively is he going to put his foot on the doorstop when all of the Never Trumpers and the big Never Trump money tries to get back into the party? What is he going to do when John Bolton calls up and says, I'm your foreign policy advisor, right? If he doesn't run for president. Or what's he going to do when Bill Kristol?
Bad chance.
What's he going to do when Bill Kristol says, I can raise a lot of money for you? And I think he's going to say no to them. But that's his challenges. And Donald Trump's challenges are, can you be focused and channel your anger and direct it at a fixed target and not just use a scope rather than a shotgun? And then we'll see. And I think Trump is reacting to that. And I don't know where the last thing I'll say, because we kind of drifted on my own into this campaign that's coming up, is that Donald Trump hopes that I think you can see it already, Jack, when he was very critical of Mike Pence. Remember, he said he folded on January.
Right.
He didn't nullify, which Pence couldn't have done. But when Pence got caught with the papers, the inner Trump probably would have said, aha, see, Mr. Self-Righteous, you did the same thing I did. And you had criticized me on TV about those papers. Right. He didn't. He said, you know what? Lay off Mike Pence. There's no more honest guy. True, it is. And it came out the other day that Mike Pompeo, and this was from Bolton, so take it for what it's worth, had written a note to Bolton during some negotiations with Kim Jong-un where he said, full of shit. Excuse my language, S-H-I-T. That is supposedly Pompeo. I don't believe the story, but Pompeo, according to Bolton, passed that to him. And Bolton's purpose was to show that Pompeo was no different than he was, even though he claimed he wasn't, that he and as the two twin representatives of foreign policy in the last 2 years, you know, last third years, Bolton's national security advisor, Pompeo, secretary of state, they both shared the same thing. But poor John Bolton died for his sins, whereas Pompeo didn't. But my point is, Trump didn't react to that. He didn't say, oh, you disloyal bastard. You didn't. Why'd you do that?
Right.
And so purpose is why. And he goes back to the 2016 election. And as long as there was Marco Rubio, who was viable, and as long as there was Ted Cruz, who was viable, and as long as that Kasich came in late and didn't join, he split the opposition. There was never a single dynamic non-Trump candidate. There were five or six. So when Trump is, he's a brilliant political strategist. When he's looking at this field, he says to himself, if Ron DeSantis is the only opposition to me, he will win. But I'm not going to let that happen. So I'm going to praise Nikki Haley. I'm going to praise Pompeo. I'm going to praise Mike Pence. I'm going to praise anybody who gets in this race because I want them to have 5%, 10%, 15%, 25%. I do not want them to rally around DeSantis because in head-to-head polls with no other candidates, it's about even. And when you look at Biden, Trump beats Biden about the same as DeSantis does. They're about even, or each one can is a point or two ahead in most polls. So that's what to look for in this next election. You will see Trump is very canny. I think he's not going to insult any candidate except DeSantis when it gets into it, because he wants them all there to prune off percentages from the non-Trump vote.
Right. Well, he may not attack the other candidates. He may find it difficult to not attack other things. I'll call it a tweet, but one of his social media, he was attacking the liberal ladies on the five on Fox. He just, you know, she's terrible, you know, et cetera, like, oh my gosh, why he goes down these alleyways is beyond me. Well, hey, Victor, let's talk about one final topic, and that's the documents of the classified documents, and some thoughts on who's helping who within the administration and within the government. And we'll get to that right after this final important message.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back with the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Victor, I know in a recent podcast you talked with Sammy about some of these issues, and you wrote a recent syndicated column, The Real Differences Between the Biden and Trump Troves. And of course, we've learned since, of course, Mike Pence, and I think even Jimmy Carter came out of the woodwork to say he had some documents. Obama has been quiet, but
you'll see a lot of them come out.
Well, the thing that gets me, that maybe we can get your commentary on, a few articles out today. Treasury blocks House Oversight Committee with Hunter Biden records. So we have, you know, the Biden administration not complying with requests from the congressional committees that want to investigate things. And if I just quickly will say, our friend Andy McCarthy, I saw him on Fox about a week ago, making a constitutional point. This administration policing itself is kind of a joke, and it truly is the rightful right of Congress to get documents that it wants representing the American people and investigate. Anyway, Victor, your thoughts about what we've seen here, the reluctance of the administration to comply.
Well, it's just more of the asymmetry. I mean, what did the Democratic House and Ways and Means Committee do in the last gasp of the last Democratic Congress. They petitioned the IRS to release Donald Trump's tax records, right? Who is the IRS? It's the Treasury Department. So they set a precedent that the president's tax records, and it's his family's too, because Melania was a joint fighter. We know all about them now. We know all about her because the Democrats and the Republicans, of course, went to court. I should say Trump did, and they lost. Okay, so now we have the tables are turned. We have a Republican committee that wants the Treasury Department to do what? To release records, i.e., tax records, especially a concerning income that Joe Biden may have received and not reported. But the only way you're going to be able to do that is to adjudicate whether Hunter Biden declared income. And I think everybody understands that they made millions and millions of dollars, and that did not show up in either one of their tax records. And so what? And Janet Yellen said, no, I'm not going to do that. They have no cause. And so they have no, they either have no more or no less cause than the House and Ways Means Committee did for Donald Trump. Because when they released Donald Trump's records, it, I guess if you were a man from Mars, you would say, well, he didn't pay any taxes because he's a terrible businessman. He's lost millions of dollars. And when he was president, that was the stupidest financial move he ever made. He didn't take any salary. He lost his apprentice $20 million in income a year. And people who hated him boycotted his products worldwide. And so he lost all this money. Yeah, he didn't pay any income tax, but he was not a very good business. That's what we got from those tax records. And for all of that, and so, but we won't get that if the Treasury Department releases the records that these committees want, and a lot of them will be tax related. We won't get that. We will get a very different picture of the Biden family, because we get the laptop, we get Bobulinski, you get bank records. You can't, I don't think you can launder $50 million in cash. That had to go to somebody. And you can see what happens. We're having the same parallel investigation just this week of Sam Bankman-Fried and his parents, because they got, and he's a tax lawyer, Professor Bankman-Fried, and he helps write Democratic tax bills. So he knows what he's doing. But my point is, when you transfer assets to them of what, $16 million supposedly in Bahamas real estate, and some of it may or may not have been used as surety for his bail, and now they're trying to transfer it back to the company. The question that everybody's asking is, when you got that money, how did he avoid gift tax? And how, if you give it back, did you avoid gift tax? Right. And the basics of a rule everybody knows better than I do, anytime a dollar is exchanged in the United States, the IRS has a way of getting some of that money, unless you just do it in cash. And even then, they have ways of finding out. So you're better not to do it. But it's asymmetry. It's always a different rule. And it's always justified that Donald Trump poses an existential threat to the United States that only we can detect. No one else has our brains, our morality, our love for truth, justice, and the American way, but us. So we can detect it. And because we can detect it, we get to have indulgences and leverage. You don't, because you're partisan. And that's the Adam Schiff story, the right. Whole anger. And so on these documents, we're going to see where it goes. But I think there is a sense of dread, because no one is asking these questions, or they're not asking them because they won't tell us, because this Corinne Jean-Pierre she's just so relieved now, because all she says is, ask the special counsel, meaning I'm not going to tell you, and go ask them, and they're not going to tell you. So therefore, no one's going to tell you. And what are they not going to tell you? They're not going to tell you the wide parameters about what these documents were about. You could do that without violating their classification status. They're not going to tell you who took them out there. They're not going to tell them why they took them out there. They're not going to tell you how they were used during the Biden possession of them. And they're not going to tell you that because there is some evidence that Hunter Biden may have perused some of these classified documents and digested that material and regurgitated in memos to his Ukrainian would-be partners or his partners in Ukraine to enhance his otherwise idiotic knowledge of foreign affairs. And if that's true, if that is true, that Joe Biden for a very long time was taking classified documents from either the Senate or as vice president or after he left the vice presidency, and he was storing them. And we don't know how many, we don't know what an item means. They say new items. We don't know what that category entails. One document, 10 documents, an item, you know. And if any information comes out on any of Hunter Biden's electronic communications that use the same wording, quotations, and Sammy and I talked about
right.
this
right.
as a classified document, that's the red line. That's what they're terrified about. Well, and each day there's something in the New York Post or Tucker Carlson that hints. Tucker Carlson, I think it was two nights ago, was he was explicit, Jack. He just went out flat out and said that Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, read a classified document at the residence because he put up on the screen the actual Hunter Biden discourse on foreign policy and said, if you believe that guy could write that right. and is drug and then you believe anything.
And he knew him too.
He knew him. Way. He not only knew him, he liked him. Yeah. He liked him. And then Miranda Devine said something to the effect that it's very easy to trace if you run a word search or maybe fingerprints or DNA. So yeah. I think that's the big story because, right. and then another thing finally, okay, so Donald Trump, Mar-a-Lago, 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 Mar-a-Lago. Oh, Donald Trump, nuclear secrets, nuclear codes. No, Donald Trump didn't have the nuclear codes. He was gonna sell stuff. He was gonna pawn it off. No, he was such an egomaniac. He was gonna frame all this stuff. And they gave us every reason, but the subtext of all of it was a serious felony. My question is this: why didn't at that moment Jimmy Carter say, you know what? I had classified documents too. I did. Or, you know, I like Mike Pence, but why didn't Mike Pence just say, you know what? The Mar-a-Lago raid has reminded me that it's not proper to have classified documents. So I went back after what I saw with Donald Trump and I have them too. Yes. Or why didn't Joe Biden say, well, he did. I think he got paranoid, but he didn't tell us. So my point is this, is that with Trump, it's always a special asymmetrical case because they didn't want to do that. Mike Pence, as moral and just a person he is, he didn't go back and look at his records. I don't know if he knew or not, but he didn't go back and look at them because he didn't really want to provide moral equivalence.
Wouldn't you have? Well, I mean, like, geez, I better check and see if I've got anything.
Exactly. Yeah. But he didn't want to disclose it because it would be bad, bad, bad as far as the publicity, the mainstream media.
Right.
He didn't want to help Trump out of his self-inflicted pit. And he didn't, the same way with Jimmy Carter. He didn't want to do it either. And suddenly when Joe Biden's in a fix, everybody's got documents. Did you know that? Because we're having a conversation right now about classification that we did not allow to take place last year during the Mar-a-Lago. And the conversation is like this. You get a Republican senator who gets up in front of the cameras and he goes something. He knots his brow. He looks very worried. And he says, you know, I think we need to have a conversation on the whole issue of classification. We really do. We got to ask ourselves, I just think we're classifying too many documents. It's getting too bureaucratic. We're going to have to visit this. Well, can you imagine giving that Donald Trump, the FBI's out of his house, armed people, 13 hours ransacking his house? You think a senator is going to go in there and say, you know what? Whatever Donald Trump did, it invites a conversation on maybe that we're just over. They didn't do that. And so that's what I'm talking about, that they think we're stupid. It's asymmetrical. Well, and they'll keep doing that unless we call them out for it. It's a very exhausting job because it just makes you angry because they do consider you stupid.
Well, on the stupid front, Victor, and a little more, it's not nuanced, but it's documents and the rejection by the Treasury Department of the request for Hunter Biden documents. And I'm looking at Hot Air, the website, and piece by Jazz Shaw. And part of the explanation given by the Treasury Department for not flipping the bird to the Oversight Committee is that these records might, and here's quote, undermine the executive branch's conduct of law enforcement, intelligence, and national security activities. So this is what Hunter writes. I'm sorry, but what? What are they talking about? The records in question involve Hunter Biden. He holds no elective office, has no responsibilities involving law enforcement, the intelligence community, or anything to do with national security, aside from possibly having undermined national security with some of his shady deals. Or at least his records shouldn't involve anything like that, unless some of the transactions showed significant payments to his father. Is that what Yellen is sitting on, et cetera? So, yeah, it's one thing with the Joe, you know, the big guys classified document abuse. But for the Biden administration to tell the, you know, Congress screw off about their concerns of a private citizen, Hunter Biden, is kind of ghastly or unconstitutional anyway.
It's like the Berea, you know, show me the man and I'll find the crime.
Basically,
it's Hunter Biden. Show me Hunter Biden and I'll find an excuse to exonerate him. And it will bend the law. And that's what they're doing. And what they don't understand is that I understand they're slick and they're neat and they're cool and they're hip and they're effective and they lie and they do all this short term. And I get the Senate, you know. We're going to get rid of the minority's choice for congressional assignments, but we're not. But it catches up to you. And what they're doing, they don't even know what they're doing. Inch by inch, day by day, they're eroding half the people's trust in these government bureaucracies. So you go up to a loyal veteran or you go to a Chamber of Commerce guy and you say to them today, what do you think of the FBI? What do you think of the Pentagon general? Don't listen to me. Just ask them. And you know what you're going to find? They've lost confidence in them. That's very dangerous because they are the traditional support, the base of support for our conservative traditional institutions. When the Pentagon wants to go up for more armament, a new cruise missile, a new frigate, and they go to the Democratic left, they won't give them a dime unless it's transgender paid for surgeries or it's affirmative action to the nth degree, not for right. anything that they need. It'll be they'll go to a Marco Rubio and Tom Cotton, but Marco Rubio and Tom Cotton are not going to be there for them because they're sick of it. And the same thing goes with the CIA and the FBI. The FBI under Christopher Wray and McCabe and Comey and Mueller have destroyed the reputation of the Washington office, and they're not going to get any support. If you mention the FBI to me now, I would be scared of them, you know, because if somebody, I can envision if somebody said, right. Victor Hansen wrote a column and it was very inflammatory and it was mean and he mocked somebody and we think that he's an alt-right person. I could imagine coming to my house. I really could. And, you know, and that's what a lot of people are scared with. And if they didn't come into my house, the IRS would. Just to show you, I'm not paranoid either, but just to show you what a lot of people on the conservative side do. So California taxes go up to 13.3%. And the federal income tax bracket is 39%. And you add the Obamacare and other add-ons, and you can easily get to 55%. And although I live on a farm and I have farm buildings and I have some expenses for upkeep, I don't take anything off. I don't write off my, even though during the COVID thing, I was home, I don't write it because I am paranoid that if I don't show 55% of my income going to the federal and state governments, I'm going to be in trouble.
Right.
because I'm kind of outspoken. And I think they target people. And if you think I'm crazy, go back and look at who Lois Lerner targeted and what happened to Lois Lerner. Right. She's enjoying a very comfortable retirement now. Nothing. So my view is there's going to be some zealot in the IRS establishment who's going to go after prominent conservatives. And if they go after them and they do so in an illegal fashion, they will be a cause celeb for the left and they will have a nice retirement and they'll make your life miserable. And it's happened to me once before.
Well, they just don't,
Yeah, it happened to me about 10 years ago where I spoke at a group of different venues, but I did so under the aegis of a service. So the service then was paid the money who paid me, but the individual speakers sent them a W-2. Whatever the IRS did, they double billed me. So they said, well, you reported this income for this company, but you didn't report this person, or this group. In other words, say I made $100, $100, $100. I didn't report each person's $100 income to me. I only did 500 of the company that arranged it, the agent, so to speak. And so it was an easy error.
Right.
That took about 6 weeks of an accountant for me to address. We couldn't get through to anybody. And then when you explain, they didn't understand it. And then finally, and I got a letter. It said, you're going to pay an interest, 1.5% interest per month for underreporting. And then finally, I get a letter 8 weeks later. No, 3 months later, it said, it didn't say we're sorry. It didn't say we're make a mistake. It says, please disregard information and letter number or something. And that was the original letter that I owed 1.5%.
And how much do we owe you for the accountant?
Yeah, nothing for your time or angst. And that's what they do. And I think they're very politicized. I think the FBI is very politicized. I will bet you that if there's another subpoena tomorrow and one of these Republican committees on the weaponization of the government or the Hunter Biden matter or the Afghanistan debacle, and they send a subpoena out to a prominent Ron McLean or some of these people that consult on that, and they say, I'm not going to testify, and they put out a summons. Do you really believe that Christopher Wray is going to put leg irons on them or show up at their home with Fox News, they're waiting to film a performance art arrest like a Roger Stone? Or do you think they're going to do what they did to John Eastman or Steve Bannon? I don't think so. I think they're going to say, you know what? That was political that you want that person to summons. Remember, you did it to Eric Holder and he told you to go screw yourself. So that's what we feel is the proper response to you. That's what will happen. I know I'm cynical, but it's cynical times.
No, you're yeah. Hey, look, when a government officially wants to, we're talking about money here, check out everything you've done over $600. You've got to know we're all in a target somewhere, at some point. So, hey, Victor, we are over time, but not too much over time to conclude with a few things. One is I want to encourage our listeners to go to SybilThoughts.com. And when you go there, sign up for the free weekly email newsletter that I write for the Center for Civil Society at American Philanthropic, though it's not called American Philanthropic anymore. Just change our name to AmPhil, but whatever we're called, we're about strengthening civil society. The email newsletter comes out every Friday and it gives you a dozen plus recommended readings. Here's the link. Here's an excerpt of really good pieces I've come across in the previous week. I think you'll enjoy it. So there's that. Visit the, if you're on Facebook, the Victor Davis Hanson Fan Club. If you're on Twitter, at VD Hanson, that's Victor's handle. Again, go to victorhanson.com, the website. Sign up, subscribe, $5, $50 for the year. You will regret not having done so before. To whatever platform you listen to this podcast on, Stitcher, Google, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Victor's website, thank you very much. To those who Some lists on Apple can rate the program 0 to 5 stars, and practically everyone gives it 5 stars. We thank you. Many people leave comments. We read them. We read the comments on Victor's website too. And at the end of this show, I'm going to read a comment from your website, Victor. And this is on the Do You Think We're Stupid article. This is from Craig Brookins, and he writes this. Thank you, Victor, for continuing to expose the blatant hypocrisy and destructive intentions of the left's Marxist progressive Democrats. Your question of whether the progressive Marxists think we are stupid is the essential question. I once thought they had us all characterized as stupid. Now I believe they really don't care if we are or not. I think because of their hatred of America and its traditional values, that their shameless hypocrisy is an intentional poke in the eye. It represents, so what if we are flagrant hypocrites? What do you think you can do about it? Very good rhetorical question there.
Yeah, that's Craig that.
Brookins, and thank to for him and all the others that leave comments and nice ratings. We thank you. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Victor, again for the wisdom that you shared in this show and all shows. And we will be back soon with yet another episode of the Victor Davis Hanson Show. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Jack, and thanks everybody for listening.